start our sermon. He's going to read our reading first. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 10. So that's page 1222 in our church Bible. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through this, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they may have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless His word. I just had trouble with this because I, for some reason, the font became really small and it's hard to read. But let's start the sermon in prayer. Let's come before the Lord. Father, we bring to you this preaching, bring to you this time of our feasting in your word. Lord, you know that my weaknesses, my incapabilities, but Father, we plead that this time may you be the one to speak to us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we praise you that the power of your word does not rely on the preacher, but in you. And in your character, in your words. So Lord, we pray that you will teach us, you will encourage us, and Father, that the name of Jesus Christ be lifted up in the midst of us tonight. For Christ's name's sake we pray. Amen. One of the greatest difficulty of preaching, probably the greatest difficulty of preaching is not that how to properly exegete the passage, but to see the passage and then see yourself and then say that, how can I preach this? Because I'm unworthy to preach this. But at the end of the day, it's not, the power of God does not rely on the one who stands here, but through Him. And that's a great encouragement. I'm again thankful for this opportunity to preach to this church. And may God bless us with this passage. I asked Ben to give me some passages and trying to find the easiest one, but I landed on the most difficult one, I guess. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 10. It's an instruction from Peter. At this time, Peter is on his way to an impending doom. He's about to die, and he knows that. So he's writing a farewell letter addressed to the churches. So according to history, he died under the reign of Nero. And before his death, there's an ongoing problem in the church, and because of false teachers. So there's three parts in this letter. I'm just gonna preach the first part, and Ben's gonna preach the other two parts of this letter. So we are just gonna answer the questions: who, what, when, why, and how. So the preaching is entitled Godly Living, Bible Answers. First, let's see, who is Peter addressing to? So let's look into the passage, and we will see in verse 1. It says, to those who through righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith that is precious as ours. So the recipient of the message is those who receive the faith. So we have to note first that the faith is not in it, but it is given. John chapter 6 verse 29 says, this is the work of God, to believe in the one that he has sent. So faith is not, it does not spring out from us. It's God given. It's a gift from God. Just a minute. I just remembered. I'm going to check the time. Or else I'm not going to be able to preach here anymore. So let's bear this in mind, that as we go on and proceed with the sermon, the message is directed not to unbelievers, but to the believers. He says, as precious as ours. So it's basically not just professing Christians, but real Christians. So this is the object of Peter's letter. Second question, what? What is this all about? We read in verse 10, it says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. It's a confirmation of your calling and election by evaluating oneself if you are striving to practice the seven qualities mentioned in the passage. So it's basically assurance of salvation. Are you assured that when you die, you will go to heaven? So there's an absolute need for us to evaluate ourselves, to look into the compass and see where we are. There is a great danger of not evaluating where you are. You can see a lot of like huge churches in America or in television. People would go into the church and they would listen to inspirational preaching, they would say, and then go home. Now, often in the Bible, you would see writings of apostles that would tell us to evaluate ourselves, our standing before God. What if you die and then you open up your eyes and you would find yourself in the gates of hell? Not a good thought, isn't it? But Peter is saying you have to confirm. You see yourself, evaluate yourself where you are at the moment. Is God seen in you? That's the question. So that's primarily the topic of the first part of this letter. Now, why? Why do we have to look at that? Verse 4, it says, to ensure, I will read verse 4, through these promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. So it is to ensure your participation in the divine nature. And also in verse 11, it says, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why is it important to know or to confirm your calling and election? To see if you're going to receive a warm welcome or a rich welcome in heaven. To know that you are truly heaven-bound. That's what this is all about. Now, it will give us the how of how we'd be able to know that we are truly saved. How are we able to know that we are truly heaven-bound? That when we open our eyes, we will be in the streets of gold and a place where there is the tree of life. First, let's read verse 5. It says, for this very reason, make every effort. Okay? If there's a phrase that you will remember when you go home, just remember these two words. Every effort. Okay? Every effort. It comes from a Greek word, spoudai. It means interest oneself most earnestly. And there's an element of haste in it. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. So we will see now seven virtues that Peter is telling us that we should do. We should put it in our lives. Faith. Faith is important. It's very important. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, we add goodness. It comes from a Greek word, arete, which means moral excellence. So within our faith, it's not just enough that we believe, but as we believe, something from us will come out moral excellence. It will come out honesty, humbleness, and compassion to the lost. You know you're saved. You know the promises of God. Probably you've been in the church for decades, and you know that the doctrine of election. But there's also a great danger with being a hyper-Calvinist. I grew up in a pretty much Arminian kind of teaching, and it will always. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 5 to 6, it will always be like said to us, probably taken out of context, but it says here, since they heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not heed the warning, their blood will be in their own head. If they had heeded the warning, they would have saved themselves. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes someone's life, the person's life will be taken because of their sin. But I will hold the watchman accountable of their blood. You as the watchman, you should blow the trumpet. If you see someone going down to the bottom pit of hell, you should at least invite him to church. That's well, probably taken out of context from Ezekiel, but you see, here's the thing. As Christians, do we have the compassion to the people who are lost? Do we have that in our heart? Or are we saying it's enough? Faith is enough. Secondly, knowledge. Are we hungry to know God? At a workplace, you would see trainings after trainings. Like if you, as a nurse, I work in a hospital, there's like loads of e-learnings to know. There's loads of not only e-learnings, but face-to-face, you need trainings you need to know. Now, in our journey in knowing God and in a journey to the celestial place in heaven, are we keeping up with the knowledge? Are we doing some trainings? Are we reading books? Are we studious in our Bible? How many times have we read the Bible again and again in our lives? Knowledge. We have here a hot topic. It's a good thing to go to in our church. It tells us about, last time I remembered about yoga. Is it good for Christians to do yoga? And for me, it's just like, well, it's form of exercise, so it's okay. But apparently, it's not. Why? Ask Ben. Ask Ben later. Anyways, we should go forth, strive for wisdom, make every effort to know God. Third, self-control comes from the word ekratia. It means the virtue of one who masters his desires and passion, especially his sensual appetites. You see, today there's in social media, when you open social media, you would see like TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. It will just feed your sensual desires. I honestly think it's not good for Christians to be on that, except you do it for gospel purposes, but that's my own personal opinion. But you know, it feeds. If you see something that feeds your sensual desire, then go out from it. You know, there's an accountability software. It's called Covenant Eyes, and Jared is my accountability partner. So it's a software where it. Whatever you look at your phone, your accountability partner will see it. And your phone will not allow you to download such apps that is harmful. It's very helpful. So, you have to pay for that though. I still have like maybe 7, or I still have 3 devices. So if you want, you can use mine. But it's very helpful. Self-control. It is also anger is also included in this. Are we able to have self-control in our anger? It's difficult. You sometimes you just want to be angry, but then you think you're showing Christ, growing Christ-likeness. Food. Are you already full, but keeps on eating? That's not self-control. So in the aspects of our life, it's not just one. It's the whole aspect of our life. And it's difficult. It's difficult because I'm the one preaching here, but in my life, there's so many things I need to work on. Perseverance, it says here. It comes from a Greek word, hopomone, which means the characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and suffering. If we would compare ourselves to missionaries and the persecutions that we have here, it's totally different. We're like babies. And then sometimes we want to speak out, and we would speak out our work. And then whenever we speak out our work, and then we will be, there will be an awkward silence whenever we see God, or we say God at workplace. And then we don't have the courage to say it anymore. But Peter says, persevere. Go on. Even if it's difficult. It's maintaining the faith even when the future looks dim. Another one is godliness. It's piety and devotion towards God. It's being religious. Being religious not in a sense that you go to church every Sunday, but deep within your heart, you seek God. You make it a goal in your day to thank God. Thank God. You know, I went to the Keswick convention, and there's a talk there about being thankful, grateful. It's very helpful. Before you sleep at night, have someone to talk to and say 10 things that you are grateful about. Or just, if you don't have anyone to talk to, just think it in your mind or write it in your paper. 10 things I'm thankful today. I have a pillow on my head. I have, I have eaten roast chicken. Just anything you're thinking about. Thank God. You know, it's very helpful. Another one is brotherly love. It's the love which Christians cherish for each other as brethren. It's our love for one another, our love for the church. And it is very heartwarming, and it is really a good thing to be a part of this church. I can feel God's love, the brotherly love in this church. You see the item to give there? It's showing brotherly love. You know, when we support missionaries, you've heard about missionaries not having food to eat on their table, and we are eating comfortably here. That's showing love. And playing tennis with me. That's showing love. You know, little things we do for our brethren with us in our mind showing love. You know, we're doing good, but let us do more. And finally it says there, love. It's translated in Greek agape. It's not Philadelphia. Philadelphia is actually the sixth one, but the seventh one is agape. It means a love that is the love of God. It's like the love of God. When God sent His only Son, there is no greater demonstration of love like that. You know, in this passage, just like a domino effect, there's like an order. And we do not skip the others. You know, it's important that we do those things. And then eventually we will go to that deeper sense of love. That's why perseverance is important. That's why godliness is important. Verse 8, it says, now these are the seven virtues that Peter said we should strive for. It's not that we should have it now, perfectly have it now, because we know that in some of those virtues, we lack something. But Peter is saying, if you're truly in God, in Christ, then you are striving for these things. It says in verse 8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, it's not skills. Sometimes we think, I want to be effective in God's ministry. I want to be productive in God's ministry. And I need to be good at playing piano or singing or teaching children. Before that, it says here, learn virtue first. Skills would be the last thing you should be worried about. Learn virtues. They are the one to strive for. Let me just clarify this. Time check. Okay. Let me just clarify this. Confirming election and calling does not mean that you have the power to make yourself chosen or saved. It doesn't mean that you can save yourself, like having all these qualities, you can go to heaven. It does, I nowhere in that realm. Because Romans chapter 8 verse 7, it says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor it can do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. John 6:44 says, you cannot come to God unless the Father draw. You cannot come to Jesus until the Father draw you to Him. So you cannot save yourself. Only Christ can give us salvation. Only by faith, through faith, by grace, we'll be able to have salvation. It doesn't also mean that we can lose our salvation. No. It doesn't mean that if you lack on this virtue, you would lose your salvation. Because Romans chapter 8 verse 39 says, no, in all these things that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there are a lot of verses you will see that God's salvation is forever. John 10 verse 28 to 29 says that, and I give to them eternal life and they shall never perish. And also John 6:39. So there's a lot of verses that tells us that the salvation, once you have it, you cannot lose it. But what does this passage says to us? It says that we have to actually evaluate ourselves. Look into your spiritual mirror. Where are you? You know, there's in modern evangelism, there's what we call easy believism, which means that if you profess Christ as your Savior, if you did this magic prayer, if you follow a prayer, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my heart. And then if you did that thing, you're eternally saved. You will go to heaven when you die. There's nothing to fret about. And when this person goes to his pastor and he would say, Pastor, I'm worried. I think I'm not saved. His pastor will say to him, did you do the prayer? Did you receive Christ as your Savior? He said, yes, I did that already, but I'm still worried. You know what the pastor will say? Well, that's just Satan saying to your head that you're not saved. Which is totally wrong. If a person tells us and is worried that if he is saved or not, then what should we do? We look into the scriptures and see what the scripture says. And this is what this specific scripture tells us, that confirming our salvation, we are striving to do these virtues. As I've said, it's not that you possess perfectly all these virtues, but you are striving to do these virtues or to have them. Now, it's like swimming. When you're swimming, you would see there are lines on the pool if you're like on an Olympic pool. Why? Because you cannot see which way. It's all water when you're swimming. And the only way to know that you're in the right track is you see the lines. And you'll know, you eventually get there. And when I was learning swimming and I would just swim and there's no lines and I would see myself on that specific corner, not on the place where I want to be. And this is what the scripture is. You see, the words of God are lines for us to see. Are you in the right track in your Christian life? Now, you say, well, I know that already, but I can't do it. I can't do it. Now, verse 3, let's look at this. It's a very important passage, and then hopefully we'll be able to go to when. Now, verse 3 says, His divine power. His divine power. How would we be able to do this? Is it by through our power? No, it's not. It says His. Who's the His? Who's the pronoun? The antecedent is God. His divine power who has given us everything we need. So when it says His divine power, it also links to the one who gives the power, the character, the one who gives the power. He is all powerful. The Bible says, He says in His word, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now we're thinking, it's so difficult to have self-control. Again, remember what God says, is it too difficult? Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? His character is immutable, which means the same power that raised Lazarus from the dead is the same power that works in us. He has given us everything we need. Everything we need through our knowledge of Him. But how will you be able to get everything you need? It says, through the knowledge of Him. Who's Him? Jesus Christ. What is your knowledge about Jesus Christ? Well, He became a man, a fully man. He is fully God, but He is fully man. 2 John chapter 1 verse 7 says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is deceiver and antichrist. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every aspect has been tempted as we are. So Jesus Christ is fully man, tempted as we are. What we experience, He has experienced. What temptations we had, He had. But He was able to have all these virtues that we said. Why is that? Why is a fully man like us be able to do all the virtues? Well, it's because He's God. No, it's not. If you scrutinize the scriptures, it does not tell us that's the reason. The reason is because He had the power of God. He had the power of the Spirit in Him. Acts chapter 10 verse 38, it says, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed Him with the Holy Spirit and with power. Of course, Jesus Christ is fully God. He's able to do miracles and all these things. But you know, it was the power of the Spirit that is in Him that He was able to have these virtues. I have few more verses to give to so that my point would be concrete, but we won't have time anymore. But read the Bible. You will see that it is the power of the Spirit, the work in Christ to have these virtues. And what am I pointing here? What I'm pointing here is this. Jesus Christ is like us. But He was able to have the virtues. Which means if we have the power of the Spirit in us, like Stephen was able to see God or heaven in his deathbed, we would have the virtues. If we cling to the Spirit, if we cling to God, if we ask Him, we'll be able to strive for these virtues. So, how? With the knowledge of Christ, make every effort. We can do it with the power that is given to us. Okay? Again, how? With the knowledge of Christ, make every effort. As we end this, let's answer the question, when? When is it? When should we do it? It's now. Now. Let's read the last verse for tonight, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 to 10. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Why should we do it now? Because the day of the Lord is coming. The day which the verse tells us that it's like a thief. You would never know when the thief will come. But the verse says, oh, it will also destroy the elements with fire. The day of the Lord is coming. The question is, will He find your light to be burning? So, tonight, it's a very challenging passage from Peter. May it challenge us as we go on our week to strive for these virtues. The Christian life is not always a step forward. It's not always going forward and forward and forward. It's not possessing all these virtues in one day or in a specific period of time. No. Sometimes our walk, our Christian walk, is walking forward, and then we see ourselves moving backward. But even then, as we strive, let's go forward again. If we see ourselves moving backward 3 steps, move forward 4 steps. Just go on until you get there. That's our Christian life. And our greatest comfort is that we see Christ. Christ has finished it. We will finish it. Let's pray. God, it's quite a challenge you have given us tonight. We are in our sinful nature. But Lord, you also said that we are partakers of your divine nature. These two natures are always in conflict. But Lord, may our life lean on more to the divine nature that you have given us. Lord, may your power, your spirit work in us that we would make every effort, strive earnestly to please you, to be more like Christ. Lord, we cannot do this on our own. So Lord, we ask that you would empower us for your sake. Amen.